Fanning, weekends on 2FM.
Anton, how are you doing on this Sunday afternoon? Have you been enjoying the weather?
I'm slightly perturbed, Dave.
Oh, gosh, tell me, pray tell.
Well, I've had something happen to me that never has happened to me before. Yesterday I was cleaning. Doesn't matter what I was cleaning, but I was cleaning. And I may have gone slightly over caustic with the cleaning.
I bet you it was a Wankel rotary engine.
Do you know how fascinating the Wankel rotary engine is, Dave?
Oh, no. What a can of worms have I opened.
No reciprocating parts. It just spins. One of the most advanced things created by a company called NSU in the late 50s, early 60s. And it would have revolutionized their cars, except they couldn't get the tips of the Wankel rotary piston not to wear away.
Now let's go on to something ruder.
I was scrubbing my Wankel rotary engine, completed the task and finished up the day. And then, and I don't want to get too personal, I got in the shower, and as I was showering, I began to realize I was unable to completely rinse. And I thought, what is this? Why can't I completely rinse? And then I realized I had removed all of the fingerprints from my hands. So the world now feels oddly slick to me.
That's just too weird, frankly.
The bit that I think is amazing. Who knew that when you take off your fingerprints, the world feels slippery?
I must say, I didn't know that, all right. No, I didn't know that.
You do now, Dave.
I do now, yeah.
The Brazilian president, Jair Bolsonaro, may be forced to undergo emergency surgery after he was rushed to hospital in the early hours of Wednesday morning, complaining of abdominal pain because...
Are you reading this?
Yes, I am. This is from The Guardian.
Is that how you pronounce his first name? Hair? I never knew that.
I was hoping if I did it quickly, you wouldn't ask. I think he's
Hair. I'll tell you what. Have you ever heard, like, you know, they sort of say, they talk about the Tour de France, and in fifth place, I'm going, oh my God, no. Or the tennis players at Wimbledon. Like, even the sports people, they do their best, but they just shouldn't do it at all. Don't mention the names of people you can't mention the names of.
I'll go one stage further. Have you ever been on the Lewis?
Yes.
Right. Have you noticed what happens when the Lewis pulls up to Dawson Street stop?
Stephen's Green, I'd be known better probably, but anyway, go on.
At Dawson Street, yeah. A very plummy woman with very good diction says, "Dawson, Dawson." It's like, no, it's just Dawson. His name was Dawson. It doesn't matter if you're Irish or not. He's just Dawson. You don't have to do it with a thick D to make it sound quasi-Irish.
Does she say, mind the gap?
No, but I know the man who does.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, the man who does.
On the underground in London?
No, on the one, there's an Irish Rail one as well.
Oh, is there? Okay.
And he does it if he's at public speaking events. He occasionally goes, "You may know me from," and then goes, "Mind the gap," and the whole crowd goes, "Hey, it's that guy." Anyway,
yes.
Jair Bolsonaro may have to have emergency surgery, not because just of abdominal pain, but because he has had hiccups for the last 10 days.
Oh, John, you know, there's always somebody in the Guinness Book of Records who's had it like for 20 years and stuff like that.
68.
68 what?
68 years.
Is the record?
Is the record, yes.
How many hiccups a day is that?
The man in question, Charles Osborne, hiccuped from 1922 until 1990. Wow. When he stopped at the age of 96. He hiccuped on average 40 times a minute, nonstop during sleep, wakefulness and everything
40
else.
40 times a minute for about 40 years?
Correct. They figure it's 430 million hiccups in his lifetime.
And did nobody tell him to drink out of the far side of the glass of water or something, no?
Well, it's interesting, Dave. I felt you might ask me this.
Oh, God.
Right? And you know how you and your supplementary questions. I thought, okay, I'm going to give this some thought. I think, what's Dave going to ask? Dave's going to ask, did he try all of these things?
Did he gargle with water? Did he hold his breath and swallow three times?
Not only did he hold his breath, he applied a technique developed by the Mayo Clinic to control his breathing to minimize the hiccup, but the hiccup still occurred. Now, this man ended up having several children by two different women, which, you know, the fact that not just he, but she, they were all able to get over the distraction is remarkable. But across the period, nothing worked. The reason for that is there is nothing that works. None of the shock yourself. There is no guaranteed success. In fact, only heavy tranquilizers work. Except there is one caveat. I found a study from the Journal of Internal Medicine because I thought you might ask, well, what can cure the hiccups? I have the answer, Dave. Do you want to know?
Well, we will get back to the involuntary contraction of the diaphragm of Jair Bolsonaro, I presume. But
we can put him to bed if you'd like.
Okay,
brace yourself. This is, now, I'm not making this up.
All right.
This is from the Journal of Internal Medicine, which is, as you may have guessed, one of the most reputable sources of internal medicine for medical practitioners about internal medicine. Okay. The gastrointestinal tract, the duodenum, the colon, the little intestine, the esophagus, the fundus of the stomach, the whole shooting gallery. If you want to know about it, you read it in the Journal of Internal Medicine. Here is a direct quote from a study from said journal. I'm making no edits, no excerpts. This is literally
good
how
enough.
It goes.
Okay.
Are you sitting comfortably, Dave?
I am sitting comfortably, yes.
A 60-year-old man with acute pancreatitis developed persistent hiccups after insertion of a nasogastric tube. Removal of the latter did not terminate the hiccups, which had also been treated with different drugs, and several maneuvers were attempted, but with no success. Digital rectal massage was then performed, resulting in abrupt cessation of the hiccups.
That discovery,
which I think the
that
answer
discovery
is,
must have made
you
your
don't
day,
say.
Did it?
I want to know the thought process. Okay, we've tried all the drugs, that didn't work. We've tried massage, that didn't work. Frank, I've got an idea.
Yeah. We'll attack from the rear, they'll never expect it.
Exactly.
We have the element of surprise.
So they thought, and now being scientists, the question is this repeatable? I continue. Recurrence of the hiccups occurred several hours later, and again, they were terminated immediately with digital rectal massage.
So does he have to digital rectum massage himself all the time to get rid of it?
Yes, that is, according to the Journal of Internal Medicine, the only guarantee. Now, I would say it's the cure to a lot of problems. You know, Dave is talking too much. Well, I know what'll stop him. It's pretty much a handbrake on a lot of life's problems. But in this instance, it is the one guaranteed cure for the hiccups. The Guardian does not report whether or not Jair Bolsonaro has tried this. He may be going straight to surgery. Given his tough guy image, he may not want to attempt the other route.
Okay, it's pretty heavy stuff, though. I mean, like 10 days of hiccuping is quite a lot, I would have thought.
Well, it's not 68 years. Charles Osborne did the full 68. And you know the weird thing with Charles Osborne? Charles Osborne maintains that he got the hiccups. And this may be where it relates to Jair Bolsonaro. Jair Bolsonaro had abdominal surgery from dealing with a previous stabbing. And apparently there's a...
He was stabbed on the campaign trail about 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, yeah.
Not on the campaign trail, Dave. yes, and this surgery. But apparently there is a bit of the stomach that there's a little sensor that creates hiccups, and it's possible that it can become stimulated. So there's two areas you can get in permanent hiccups, from a stomach injury or for a brain injury. The guy with the 68 years, it looks like he had a brain injury. In Jair Bolsonaro's case, it may be a stomach injury. But do you know why they hypothesize why we hiccup, Dave?
Why we hiccup? Because things, you've just mentioned it, things go wonky inside and you can't fix it, no?
Yes, but what's the evolutionary reason for us having the capacity to hiccup?
Because things go wonky inside.
No. That's how and why. I mean, why did evolution select for those who hiccup instead of those who don't hiccup?
You could say that
like eyebrows, Dave.
You could say that about 1,000 things.
Yes, you can. It's called evolution. What, like, why wouldn't you? Why do we have opposable thumbs? It's not random.
No, hold on. I see what's going on here. Dave, let Anton answer his own question, for God's sake. Anton, why?
Breastfeeding.
Who?
Breastfeeding.
Breastfeeding?
Yes, the one...
Charles Osborne breastfeeding?
No, Charles Osborne was hanging a 350-pound hog for butchering. But the assumption is, or like the presumption, the possibility, the hypothesis, is that the reason humans breastfeed is because, the reason humans hiccup is because it increases your tendency to burp. And by burping, you increase the amount of food that can go into yourself. And particularly at an early stage, that means that you can consume more. Because do you know the only types of animals that hiccup, Dave?
Horses.
Mammals. There you go.
Okay,
that's all I got on the hiccups.
Horses do hiccup, you know. They're called thumps, or it's called thumps.
No.
Yeah.
Do they?
Yeah.
Do you know that when a horse lifts its upper lip like Mr. Ed, That's a way of trying to, it's a way of saying that it finds you attractive. It's called a Flamin response.
How do you know that?
Because I was once in an ad campaign with a horse,
yeah,
and the horse was looking at me.
Mr. Ed, was it?
Christ. No, it was just a random horse, and a vet at some stage said, do you see the way that horse is looking at you? And I said, yes. And he went, that's a Flamin response. That horse thinks you're cute.
By the way, we might play Mr. Ed later on, because we're playing TV theme tunes for the rest of the program.
Oh, my God. Please do Dukes of Hazzard. There's not enough Waylon Jennings on your program, Dave. I've always said this.
I think we have Dukes of Hazzard, all right, yeah.
Oh, Greatest American Hero, first 7-inch single I ever owned.
Oh, really? Oh, my God, we're off. Okay, fair enough.
Sorry.
Okay.
Where were we? Hiccups.
We were at...
Peanut butter with Mr. Ed, apparently.
Yeah, peanut butter, really? Okay. We're at Hair Bolsonaro. Are we finished with him?
I think we've milked him for all he's worth.
Okay. Let's go on to something else then.
Police have fined two men who had to be rescued. Let me do this in Newsreader, because it's one of the world's great leading introductions. This is from APNnews.com. Police have fined two men who had to be rescued from an Australian forest after they were startled by a deer while nude sunbathing and became lost.
Okay, so they were nude sunbathing. A deer Correct. Came along, freaked them out, and they ran away.
Yes, a deer, Dave.
Right, okay. So like, I have to ask.
A deer.
I have to ask, if it wasn't a fawn, sorry, this is a bit of a whatever, was it an old deer?
Hey! This puts me of mind of Jimmy Carr's, what he describes as the world's shortest joke, which is venison's deer.
So, okay.
The bit that I don't get about this is, have you ever come across a deer, Dave? They're not that threatening.
No, they're not. Absolutely.
No.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah, lovely. And all the rest of it. But nobody has ever run from a deer, as far as I know.
No.
I cannot imagine how you would run far enough into the woods that you would become lost because you were startled by said deer, particularly if you knew your clothes.
Have you ever come across a deer while you're naked?
No.
Well, you see, you never know what you might be like.
That is true. I'd say you're jumpier when you're nude, just generally. You're going to be more febrile. Well, in this instance, the two gentlemen, one of whom was 49, the other was 30, disappeared into the woods, and the cops had to be called and they had to do a search for them.
And how nude were they? I mean, completely
nude. Very nude. No, one man was carrying a backpack.
One man was carrying a backpack. Is that the guy that jumped out of the plane nude 2 weeks ago?
Could be. Yeah. Carrying a backpack. Yeah. Which I think would make you feel more nude. I think if you were nude and somebody said, would you wear a backpack? You'd actually feel more nude. I think it's a critical error. But anyway, maybe that's what made him so jumpy. He had a backpack. The two of them burst into the woods and they had to go call the National Forest Service, police aircraft and the state emergency services. They were each fined $1,000 Australian dollars. And Police Commissioner Mick Fuller was quoted about this, and he said, let me get this quote right because it's a good one. Unbelievably, we saw two men sunbaking naked on the beach. They were startled by a deer, ran into the national park and got lost. They are idiots.
They are idiots for leaving home without at least a proper mankini, and they mightn't have been so frightened if they were wearing one.
Exactly. Mm. They would be focused less on their nudity and more on the actual level of threat provided by a random deer.
Right.
In other slightly macabre news, police are seeking help from female amputees to identify a lost foot.
You mean they found a foot?
They found a foot. They found a foot in 2019 back in northeast Lincolnshire. Now, normally when you find a foot, what follows is either somebody looking for a foot or somebody who's missing other parts. In this instance, neither has happened. There is no missing persons report that matches the foot. There is no murder that matches the foot. Nobody has said, I'm without a foot. They just have a human foot.
And where did they find the foot?
They found the foot on a railway track. Free Barabbas. Sorry. They found it on the old railway track at Louth Road. Or Louth. I think the Brits call it Louth.
I see. Right. Okay.
It is believed to have belonged to a woman over the age of 16 and about 5'2" tall, obviously on one side.
Wow, that's pretty weird. So, like, could it have come from anything else, like kind of something in a hospital or something? Or like
that? This is where it gets weirder. Now, they don't explain this. They say, although this must seem a very strange request, we are now appealing for any female in the Humberside Police Force area and Lincolnshire that has had a medical procedure to remove her left foot since 2014 to contact us because they think it might be the result of hospital waste being poorly disposed of. So they're now asking anybody, wow, if you had your foot removed in the last 6-7 years, any chance you'd give us a shout? And they promise all will be treated with the utmost respect and privacy. I can't see how you'd be embarrassed to discover your foot had been
found. Absolutely not.
Have you heard the latest about Jeff Bezos's phallic trip to...
Well, he's going to the thing after Branson did it, yeah.
He is, but he's going further in a much more penis-y rocket. So
really?
Jeff wins. All right. Have you not seen the rocket?
I have not seen the rocket, but I do know the guy who was going to go isn't going to go or something.
This is the story. A man who paid, well, a person, I shouldn't say a man, a person who paid $30 million for a ticket into space has, and I quote TechSpot, can't go due to scheduling conflicts.
As in, he's just spent $30 million. So we say, oh, you're going on what date? Oh, God, no, I can't go on that date.
Yeah, no, I can't go to space that
day.
I have a thing.
Does he get his money back?
I think he's able to defer it rather than cancel it. So it could be that he's gone, oh, Jesus, maybe let somebody go up first and see how that goes before I go. But his express reason is scheduling conflict.
And is Jeff Bezos' dad or something is gone or somebody like that, no?
No, this is actually interesting because the way that it's being reported is there's two other passengers of note on this.
Yeah.
One is a man called Damon... that's the second name. His first, Oliver Damon, who is an 18-year-old high school graduate. He's going on the flight, as is a woman by the name of Wally Funk, which sounds like the band that Bootsy went into after Parliament, but it isn't.
Right.
Wally Funk is an 82-year-old veteran pilot. Now, this means that Oliver will be the youngest person to go into space, and Wally will be the oldest, because at 82, she's 5 years older than John Glenn, who on his final trip was the oldest person ever to go into space. But what's interesting is they are, I would argue also, not only at the end of an age spectrum, but at the end of a merit spectrum. Wally Funk was one of the most interesting, is one of the most interesting people in aviation. She was a woman who got into flying at a time when nobody was, when very few women were able to get into flying.
Wow.
She became a pilot instructor when there were almost no women pilot instructors. She taught military pilots as well as civilian pilots when no women taught military pilots. She got into a space program that ultimately got cancelled and performed better than some of the male astronauts on that route. She became one of the very first inspectors for the FAA and was a National Transport Safety Board inspector, the very first female to do it and one of the most influential.
Wow.
And she's now going to be the oldest astronaut in space, and she is going to sit beside Oliver Damon, who has a rich dad.
Yeah, I was just going to say, he must, I mean, he wouldn't have made the billions that are needed, so it must be somebody giving him the money, all right, yeah.
It's his dad. His dad is CEO of the Netherlands-based investment firm Somerset Capital Partners BV, who has spent an undisclosed sum, assumed to be somewhere in the order of about 30 million, so his 18-year-old son can have a bit of a trip on Jeff Bezos' rocket.
And that's going to happen next week. Is that it?
I don't know. Supplementaries. I had 15 minutes on hiccups, Dave, and you have to ask me when Jeff Bezos' flight is. You couldn't have just let me in.
I'll check it up.
It was a coda.
Listen, we have to go, Dave, and do things like which are signature tunes for television programmes. So thank you very much indeed.
Greatest American hero, Dave.
Don't forget, you can text in. I'm not going to do it.
Airwolf. Oh, no, the Fall Guy. The Fall Guy. Best ever. I've been seen with
Farrah.
Dave Fanning. Weekends on 2FM.